begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious, most loving Heavenly Father, in this day, Lord, we ask that thy presence would be felt among us. Throughout this day, Lord, as thy word would be spoken of and read, as we would lift up thy name in song, as we would bend the knee before thee in prayer and adoration, Father, we pray, Lord, that thy presence would be felt among us. And so now, Lord, as we would read this, thy word, we pray blessings upon the reading. Lord, we pray blessings, Lord, upon the work of thy Holy Spirit as he would speak to our hearts in his still small voice. And we pray, Lord, that we would be attentive to hear what thy Spirit would speak to us. Lord, for these things we do ask in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. For our reading this morning, let's turn to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4.
Nađene da se čita uz Božju pomoć iz poslanice apostola Pavla Filipljanima, četvrta glava. Filipljanima, četvrta glava.
Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I wish to end there with the ninth verse. One of the elusive states that we can find ourselves in is the peace of God, having the peace of God ruling and reigning within us. And that state of peace can be robbed from us because of what is going on in this world, the things that we're exposed to, the things we become aware of, the things that are round about us in every way. We can lose our peace, and we can be in that state of anxiety, but that's not what the Lord wants us to be in. He wants us to know his peace. He wants us to experience that love and that and his goodness, and to have that peace about us. So I'd like to go through the scriptures this morning in the context of verse number 7 that we read, where it says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." This peace of God can keep our minds, and it can keep our hearts, and it happens through Christ Jesus. And we can be in that state that seems to be so elusive to this world. We can be in that state where the peace of God reigns within us. There might be chaos round about us. There might be things that are frightening round about us. But yet, God wants us to dwell in his peace. And his peace can be in our hearts and in our minds through Christ Jesus. So let's consider the scriptures this morning as we look to his word and see how it speaks to us, how that we might maintain this peace of God in our hearts amidst a perverse and wicked world that we live in. The first verse here begins with therefore. And therefore really means as a result of or because of these things, and it makes a statement. So we need to look back at what it's speaking here when it says here, therefore. So if we go back to the last two verses of the previous chapter, it says, for our conversation is in heaven, meaning our citizenship is in heaven. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming from heaven, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So we look to Jesus, who's coming from heaven. And when he comes from heaven, he's going to change our vile bodies, our mortal bodies, our decaying bodies, our unhealthy bodies, and he's going to fashion them like unto his glorious body. And so that in itself should give us peace. That in itself should give us joy. That should keep our, we should keep our minds on these things, that we might be in this peace of God. And so this is coming. This is coming. And so because Jesus is coming, and because he will change our vile bodies to be fashioned like unto his glorious body, he says, stand fast in the Lord. Don't be moved from the Lord. Walk in his ways. Walk in the light. Follow his teachings that are written and recorded here in his word. They are life-giving. Stand fast in the Lord. Don't be moved by the chaos and by the wickedness that is round about us in this world. And then he says further on here in this chapter, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Having this joy in our hearts because we know the Lord, because he has redeemed us, because his grace abides within us. And so we rejoice in him. That's a fruit of the Spirit, to have joy in our hearts. And we draw others to the Lord by this joy that that radiates from us, because his peace is in us. And we know that we no longer have condemnation, but that our souls have been saved. We are experiencing the salvation of God. And we are a part of his plan of salvation because we stand fast in the Lord. And so we rejoice in him. And we draw others by our rejoicing in the Lord unto the Lord. If we have this disposition of, oh, woe is me. Oh, this is so difficult. Oh, these trials are so hard. We're not going to draw others to the Lord. We rejoice in the Lord. He is with us. He has given unto us his Holy Spirit. He gives unto us of his grace. He gives us above that which we would ask of him. And so we rejoice in him for these things. And that rejoicing should radiate from us. And so he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The apostle Paul experienced some difficult things here in Philippi, to whom he's writing this epistle to. He writes that he was shamefully entreated in Philippi. This is where a spirit of divination was ruling the town, the city. And he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Even amidst this, rejoice in the Lord. And then he says further on, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Let your disposition, let your everything, your character be that would be one of moderation, or one of gentleness, one of mildness, one of that which would be acceptable unto the Lord. Gentleness, as a fruit of the Spirit. And this goes far, far beyond our appearances of what we dress, but it has to be from our heart, that our moderation would be known unto all men. We're not drawing attention to ourselves. We're drawing attention to the Lord, and we point to him, and we're rejoicing in him, and not in ourselves or our circumstances, but we're simply rejoicing in the Lord. And so therefore, we are to express this moderation, this level of of that which would be acceptable and well-pleasing to the Lord in a gentle and mild spirit. Staying away from extremes, because the Lord is at hand, because he's coming soon to change our vile bodies to be fashioned like unto his glorious body. He is at hand, and this time is coming. Further, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing, simply meaning don't be anxious about anything. Don't fret, but trust in the Lord. And then bring your petition, your prayers, and your supplications with that spirit of thanksgiving to him, and he hears us. He hears us. And he shows of himself to us by providing unto us his peace and knowing that he owns all things and he can do all things. We know that our Lord is omnipotent. We know that with him all things are possible and that he's greater than any mountain that we can see or we cannot see. We know these things and we have faith that that's true. God is bigger. God is bigger. And so the Apostle Paul is reminding us, don't be anxious about anything. Don't be careful, but bring it to the Lord in prayer. And bring it with a spirit of thanksgiving to him. Again, he spent time in jail in Philippi. But he's saying, be joyful and bring all things in prayer with a spirit of thanksgiving. Being thankful to him for all things that he has done. Knowing that he has this. The Lord can do all things. We know that. We know that to be true. And we know that he owns all things too. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The beasts of the forest are his and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. They're all his. Everything is his. And so ours is to simply come with the spirit of thanksgiving and lay all our burdens to him and know that with him all things are possible. All things are possible. There's nothing too hard for the Lord to do. He can do all things. And so we are being exhorted to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, letting our prayers and requests be made known unto God. And then again, he comes to this beautiful verse that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, this peace, again, that's so elusive in this world, there's fretting and there's concern. What's the economy going to do? What's going on with China and Russia? What's going on in our neighborhoods? What's going on in our schools? All these things can bring about a fret and an anxiousness about ourselves. But this peace of God, which passes all understanding, it will keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Through him. Through Christ Jesus. Our hearts and our minds will be kept. Jesus gives us some beautiful promises that help us to allow that peace of God to rule in our hearts and in our minds. He says that all that the Father hath given me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. This is a promise of Jesus Christ. Do we embrace this promise? Jesus says that all that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. If we come to him and we believe that he is the light of the world and that he came to shed his blood for the remission of our sins and that the grave could not contain him but that he resurrected, and we believe these things and are steadfast in the Lord, that Jesus says, I will in no wise cast you out. You came to me, I won't cast you out. This is a promise of his. And again, that should give us peace. And we should rejoice in these things. Jesus further says that if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Jesus made us free. We're free from sin. We're free from condemnation. We're free from the curse of hell. We know that our names are written in the book of life, just as it was for Clement and Yod and these others who they speaks of here in Philippians 4. Their names are written in the book of life, and they are free. And that free grace has been also extended unto us, that Jesus, when he makes us free, we are free indeed. And so we are encouraged. Think upon that which the Lord has done. Think upon his promises. Think that with God all things are possible. Think that he owns all things. Think that Jesus Christ will in no wise cast us out. Think that Jesus Christ, when he makes us free, that we will be free indeed. And so we are to have these things upon our minds. We should meditate upon them. We should contemplate these things. And when we contemplate these things and think upon these things, the peace of God will rule our hearts and will fill our minds, and we will know his peace. Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The peace that we have comes from the Lord Almighty. And we can rejoice in this. Rejoice in the Lord. And so verse number 8, a very familiar verse to all of us, he speaks of some things that we ought to be thinking about. And I'd like to preface this verse that we'll discuss here, verse number 8, with another verse in Romans that says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." To have a carnal mind is to say, "I can do this without God." To have a carnal mind is to say, "It's about me. It's about me. I can, look at me. Look at me." That's a carnal mind. It's what I want. And that equals to death. And along that pathway, there will be no peace to that soul. That's to be carnally minded. But to be spiritually minded is to commit ourselves to the Lord, to have faith in the promises that he gives, to stand fast in the Lord, to allow our hearts to be exposed to his love, to allow our minds and our occupation to be with the Word of God, we will have life and we will have peace. And so let's go through this verse number 8 in Philippians 4 with that thought, that to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And he says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true," those things which are true, those things which are accurate, those things that reflect reality, think upon these things. To think in a carnal mind, we would think, well, what about my feelings? The feelings aren't necessarily true. The feelings in this world have become so corrupt that some wake up in the morning and say, "Oh, I'm feeling like I'm the opposite gender of what I am." And that leads to death. That leads to death. But our thoughts are to be reflected upon that which is true, that which is accurate. And so what are the things that are true and what is accurate? Well, we know that God's word is true. God's word is true. All inspiration is given by God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so we know his word to be true. And so we are to focus on it. We are to allow our minds to be focused on this word of truth, and then to also know that what also is true is that Jesus Christ is coming again. Again, he's coming, and he will change our vile bodies to be fashioned like unto his glorious body, and he will bring us into his realms, and we will behold his glory. These things are true, and our mind ought to be occupied with that. Our minds ought to be occupied by this word that is true. The Bible says that thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. That's what the Bible says. And so our minds ought to be occupied with the Word of God. What does the Bible say? What is truth? What is truth? And when we occupy our minds with what is true, the peace of God fills us, fills our hearts, it fills our minds through Christ Jesus. The Bible says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What are we contemplating? What are we thinking about? Is it the truth of the word, or is it some other thing? Psalm number 1 has a verse in there that says that we delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth we meditate day and night. We're meditating upon the word of God day and night. What's the Bible say? What's the Bible say? I think it's very, very helpful for us in our spiritual lives that we take the word of God and we meditate upon it and commit it to memory. It's very helpful that when the evil one comes his way and he tempts us to be carnally minded and start saying, oh, you need to think about yourself, that no, we repel him with the word of God, with that which is truth. And again, knowing that Jesus Christ is coming again, that is truth. He also speaks here of whatsoever things are honest. You know, if we're being honest with ourselves, we are living in the flesh and we live in a fallen world. And we need grace. That's being honest. We need grace. We're in the flesh. We're in a fallen world. Satan's tempting us. We need grace. And we sang about it this morning. We need his grace. And we rejoice in his grace. And he finishes this chapter, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And so that's simply just being honest. We need his grace. And when we are honest with ourselves, his love and his grace is shown unto us. Then he says, and whatsoever things are just. Think about this thing. Think about these things. Whatsoever things are just. You know, there's things that happen in our lives, probably to every one of us. Every one of us, that it's wrong. It wasn't right. It was wrong. What was done to us was wrong. And in often cases, it will never be rectified on this side of the grave. It just won't. It just won't. We'll have to deal with that which was done to us. You know, we read Wednesday night about offenses coming. And Jesus says, offenses will come. They will happen. We live in a fallen world. Offenses will come. Those things which trip us up, they will come. And so we are to think upon that which is just. So we are to be reminded that God will reward everyone according to his deeds. We have a just God who will do that which is good and that which is right and that which is just. He will do these things. The Bible says that he that hath done wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. So if we think of that, that's just. That's God. He will rectify these things, and so we just commit it to him. And when we can just commit it to him, the peace of God fills our hearts. But when we feel we have to take vengeance on things that were done wrong to us, then the peace of God is gone. That's to be carnally minded. And that's death. But to be spiritually minded is knowing that God is a just God, and he will reward every man according to his works. That will happen. That is true. That is just. That is God. And then he says, whatsoever things are pure. Think upon these things. God's love. God's love is purity. There is nothing adulterated or mixed with God's love. It is pure. We've been recipients of it. We see its immeasurable levels in our hearts, in our minds, and as it's been revealed to our lives. His love is pure. We experience it. It's part of our lives. We experience God's pure love. There's nothing mixed with it. There's nothing that anyone can mix something else with God's love or take anything away from it. It's pure. And it's been given to us. And then we are to take that pure love that has been expressed and shown unto us by God and take that same pure love and show it to others. Just as it says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Take that love that we have been given and let that pure love radiate from our hearts and from our lives. And when we do that, the peace of God will fill our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. It will. It will. Because that's the promise of God. Because that's the true word of God. And then whatsoever things are lovely, exquisitely beautiful, the things that we see in around about us in this world that we live in, there are things that are absolutely beautiful. God created them. We appreciate going to botanical gardens and seeing the beautiful plant life. Even just thinking about orchids and how many different types of orchids there are and the different shapes of them and the different colors of orchids. This is God's beautiful, exquisitely attractive world that he has created. And then we think of going to a high elevation and looking over a valley or seeing a large body of water. And we just think, this is lovely. This is beautiful. This is what God has created. And we are to think upon these things. And his peace then fills us. We sing often 331 in the Zion's harp. It says, farewell then, O earth, I am only thy guest. Farewell to thy joy and to thy burdens I rest. Thy hills and thy valleys, though wondrously fair, cannot with the heavenly glories compare. And so when we think of the beautiful things that we see in this world, that God's creation, how beautiful it is, then we think that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them, that love him. God has something very, very great in mind for us. What is awaiting for us in heaven is far beyond the beauty that's here in this life. And so we rejoice in that. And these are the lovely things that we are to think about. And when we think about this, how lovely this is, then again, the peace of God, the peace that's so elusive in this world, this peace of God can fill our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Lovely things the Lord hath done, and we are to contemplate those lovely things. And whatsoever things are of good report. So thankful for the word of God and for the many examples that are written here in his word, and especially in the Old Testament, knowing that there were those who were faithful to God, who loved the Lord, and through it all, they maintained their steadfastness in the Lord. And so we think of Daniel, we think of Job. They were men of good report. The Lord tells Satan, have you considered my servant Job? He was of good report. Very good report. And Satan brought some very, very evil things to Job. Yet he maintained his faithfulness to the Lord. Yet he maintained his faithfulness and his steadfastness in the Lord. And he was of good report. Daniel, all those that were in leadership of Nebuchadnezzar's household with him, they were turned against him. They turned against him. And they brought in some laws that they knew that he was to make a decision whether he was going to serve God or not. And he served God. He was of good report. And so we think of things that happen in our lives, and we consider, well, I need to make a decision here. Am I going to be steadfast? And am I going to be faithful? And am I going to show God's love? Or am I not? Am I going to be carnally minded? Or am I going to be spiritually minded? Will I have life and peace? Or will that be robbed from me? And so we look to those in the scriptures that have a good report. And it gives us stability in our hearts and in our minds. If there be any virtue, again, looking at the scriptures, Joseph, he was such a virtuous man. He wouldn't defile himself. He wouldn't turn on his brother. He wouldn't take vengeance on his brothers. He was a virtuous man. And we can look to these of the Old Testament as these good examples that we might please the Lord well and that we might have his peace abiding within us. And then he says, and if there be any praise, think on these things, any praise, we long for heaven. We long for that time when we will see Jesus coming again in great power and in great glory with the clouds and in the clouds and with the angels. We look forward to this time. He's going to change our vile bodies into being fashioned like unto his glorious body. And then he'll transport us to the heavenly realms. And we will see four beasts worshiping and praising the Lord. We will see 24 elders who are casting their crowns before the Lord and lauding his name. We will see multitudes and multitudes of angels lifting up the worthy name of God. We often pray, brothers often pray, that God would accept our sacrifice, though it's not as it is in heaven. And so this is ought to occupy our minds, that it's sometimes frustrating that we want to worship the Lord in truth and in uprightness and in spirit and magnify him as he is as is due unto him who is so worthy. And we simply can't. We're in the flesh. But we could look forward to a time when in perfectness, unadulterated, we can worship the Lord as he is meant to be worshipped, and we, as the 24 elders, will take our crowns that have been given unto us if we remain steadfast to him, and we will likewise cast it before him and laud him and glorify him. And so we are to think on these things. Think on these things. Meditate on these things. Contemplate these things. That the peace of God would envelop our hearts and our minds. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. This God of peace will be with us when we do what the Word of God tells us to do. When we put our minds in the right place. We know that our minds is a very critical thing, and we need to guard it, because what is in our minds soon comes out as words. And then what comes out as words then later become actions, and then it becomes a habit, and then it becomes a character, and then that gives a destiny. It starts in the mind. Satan knows that. Satan knows that. But we are to have our minds fixed upon these things, which are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, and worthy of praise. Thinking upon these things. Think of Peter, right? He walked out of the boat, stood on the water, and started walking. He was walking on the water. But when he took his eyes off the Lord, when he took his thoughts off the Lord, and looked around about him at the chaos of life, as we experience it, he started to sink. Our thoughts are to be continually upon the Lord, and to be careful as to what comes into our minds, because what comes in goes out. Garbage in, garbage out. The Word of God in, and then by his grace, his love comes forth. So I'd like to close with a verse that I'd like to lay upon our hearts, that we would take it with us, that we would commit it to our hearts and to our minds, that we would recall it. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 5. It says, casting down imaginations, those things that come into our minds, casting them down, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. We know that God's word is true, and we have his knowledge. And anything that would exalt itself against the word of God, We ought to cast it out. And then bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. Bringing into captivity every thought. Anything that we're thinking about it, anything we're thinking about, it needs to be brought into the captivity of the obedience of Christ. We can't do these things on our own. We can't. And so in Philippians there, a verse we didn't read in chapter 4, it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We can do these things through Christ. We can bring every thought unto the obedience and the captivity of Jesus Christ, that we would live for him, that we would honor him, that we would magnify him, that we would praise his name, that we would rejoice in the Lord always, and that we might know that our vile bodies are going to be changed into and be fashioned unto like his glorious body. And so we glorify him, and we wait for his return, and we point others to him. Blessed be his name. Amen.
I think it was very fitting to sing this last hymn, as Brother John had quoted from it in the sermon, because what it really reveals is that this portion of scripture that we read is an entirely spiritual level. It cannot be understood by the carnal man at all. Because when Apostle Paul says, rejoice, that's a commandment, rejoice. And he says, oh, you didn't hear me? Again, I'm going to tell you, rejoice. Why does he say it like that? Because if my son has cancer, he's saying, rejoice. How? How? How does one rejoice in the midst of everything that one endures? He says, how? Take it to the Lord. Make your supplications, your prayers, be made known unto him. That's all you can do. Is Paul saying, I never felt the whips on my back. I didn't feel the blood that was pouring down my back when I was beaten. I didn't feel my muscles getting completely cramped up in those stocks. I didn't feel any. No, he didn't say that. But he was able to rejoice. Why? How? Because joy is the power in which we can live. It is a fruit of the Spirit. And it comes not by observation. It comes by developing that through what we have read here. As he wrote, whatever things are true and pure, who is that? It's all Jesus Christ. So we develop the joy that comes from within, from the Spirit, is developed through Jesus Christ and thoughts on him, protecting the mind from all the evil that is all around us and everywhere else. So what a beautiful encouragement we received this morning, dear ones, and may each of us really just concentrate on having that peace of God, that joy. You know, we ask every convert, what did you feel in your heart? And they express a peace and a joy. How? Does joy come in the midst of sin? No. When our thoughts are on Christ, when all the things that are altogether lovely, when I'm thinking upon those things, I have joy. I have peace because I have overcome the world. Again, this is all from the Spirit of God. You can only cultivate it, and I, by remaining on the vine, as Jesus spoke of remaining on the vine. He will supply that which is necessary for you to blossom and have this fruit, which will carry us through every pain and sorrow that we could ever imagine. Because as we just sang, even when everything is going perfect in this life, we look at the hills and the valleys. How beautiful, as was mentioned, they cannot compare to the heavenly glories. They cannot compare with them at all. And so, dear ones, may God bless his word this morning upon our hearts, and may we truly, with his help, cultivate that which we have been brought to, so that his Spirit would truly work within us. Amen.